Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we introduce who our guest is today, Joe is going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Our show's purpose is to reach those that are seeking service through stories of amazing service and people that are just incredibly connected to their communities and Rotary. Because Rotary is awesome. We try to be open-minded and go, you know, it doesn't matter how you serve, but Rotary is the best.
And we've had some amazing guests on who just remind us and give us a really pleasant reminder at that of the different ways that you can serve other than Rotary. So,
and who do we have on today?
So our guest today is the one and only Lloyd Campbell, who is the 2023-24 Assistant Rotary Coordinator. He's also our GM. He's also a beekeeper.
It's a fun interview and second time guest.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Bye.
Gear up for a day of community spirit. Edina Rides for Education invites you to roll into a fun day of biking on Saturday, May 4th, starting at Fred Richards Park. Organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside, they're all about service above self, and they're calling on you to join the ride. Opt for a leisurely 5 or 10-mile route and explore the scenic, car-free bike paths Edina has to offer. And here's the best part. Your participation in Edina Rides will support various educational nonprofits across the area. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. Plus, your organization can be part of the fun, too. Sponsorship opportunities support Rotary's mission and local educational programs. Various levels offer lots of chances to promote your brand. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary four-way test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary Club near you at Rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. I also want to thank our other sponsor, the Russell Hampton Company, the number one printer for Rotary in the country. If you're watching online, you can see some of the swag they have for us. Got our mugs, our cutting board, our Stanley-ish mug.
Still waiting for my hoodie and my quarter zip.
It's a pretty intense.
Yeah. I figured you had one of those.
No. I do not. I don't involve myself with those crazes. So.
But you can check
BFC.
Them out.
That's what that is.
Our guest is giggling over here. Let's introduce our guest. It's Lloyd Campbell. He is
number two.
Past district governor and second time guest and the QB for for our show, Searching for Service.
General manager. I would say more like general manager. You're the quarterback.
Okay. Well, welcome back, Lloyd. We're happy to have you. I think that we should do a reintroduction because, yes, we've had you on here already. But let's share with our listeners, where are you from?
There's so many jokes I could tell with that, but I can tell from your face that I should not tell any of those jokes. I'm from a little town in Arkansas. It's Edmundson, Arkansas. Population now about 415.
Okay. Now, do you pronounce it Arkansas?
No, Arkansas.
Okay. All right.
No, Arkansas. Yeah.
That's how I remember the spelling.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Yeah. So I was raised there. But when I turned 18, I got the heck out.
Sure.
And every once in a while, I'll go back to visit. But that's where I'm from.
And where do you live now?
Good question.
In Tesla.
You know, it depends on where my car takes me. My permanent address is actually Glenwood, Minnesota, which is about 2.5 hours from here. It depends on who's driving and when. And I also live in Richfield. So I spend a lot of time here in the cities. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And why is it that you spend so much time here in the Twin Cities?
I love you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I was, as you alluded to earlier, I was past district governor. District governor. Now I'm past district governor. But during that period of time, most of our clubs are in this vicinity. So I spend a lot of time here. And I still do because I'm still involved in a few things. So.
Okay. Can you maybe this is a challenge. Maybe this is going to be a challenge. But can you give a brief, like, nutshell version of how you get to be in that district governor role?
The first thing you have to do is join Rotary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Check.
Mm-hmm. After you join Rotary, you spend a year or so trying to learn about what Rotary is all about. And we have a variety of training programs, and we have the Learning Center, which you can do online. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, you make a decision saying, I want to make an impact. I want to make some type of statement about where Rotary is going and how I can help make it get to that point. Okay. So probably a year or so after joining Rotary, I said I wanted to be district governor. So
wow.
I spent a lot of time going to every meeting I could get my hands onto. Unfortunately, I didn't know I didn't supposed to go to some of those meetings. I showed up anyway.
Gotcha. Well, did they boot you out?
No, they didn't.
They did not.
Surprisingly,
okay.
You know, every once in a while they looked at me strangely.
Yeah, you got the Minnesota nice, like, so glad you're here, Lloyd.
Absolutely.
What are you doing here?
Absolutely. And then one day after the end of a meeting, the then district governor, she was district governor, well, Irene Kelly. I'm not sure if she was district governor or was going to be district governor, walked up to me and said, would you like to be district membership chair? And, you know, unfortunately, I have this habit of saying, yeah, I'll do it.
All right.
And I did. So that started that chain of getting involved in, deeply involved in Rotary, from the club level to the president to the district level. And now I'm involved in some things on the zone level.
Okay. So. Very cool. When did you decide to commit to Rotary? When was that? What?
My commitment to Rotary actually occurred. That's an interesting question. I'm thinking about certain incidents that happened.
When did you let Rotary into your heart?
When did I fall in love with Rotary? I hate to tell you, it's a love-hate relationship. Okay, to be honest.
Much
with
like
you.
My love-hate relationship for my husband right now. He's giggling at me. Yes. Yeah, yep.
I noticed he moved back from you a little bit, so he knows that if – wow, okay, what that means. You know, Rotary is an organization that's in transition, and – for me, that's the thing that excites me about Rotary, because you know that it's in transition because it knows it needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having a little bit of a struggle doing that. Mm-hmm. So you have to and then I look at myself and say, oh, I love to get into that fight. I love to get involved in that. So that's when you ask me when did that happen, there have been certain instances that I wake up in the morning and say, I'm through with this. I've had enough.
I fought the good fight.
Yes. Time for me to move on to do something else. And okay. then there were times you said, wow, that was great. You mm-hmm. know, we helped kids in Glenwood, or we helped kids in Uganda, mm-hmm. or we made a difference. And then you sit back and say, oh, okay.
Well, it sounds like the good has outweighed the
It has.
So good.
So far.
okay.
So far.
Okay.
That's funny. So far.
You never know what the next day will bring you. So.
It's fascinating, though, that after a year, you already knew, like, that was what you wanted to do, and you aspired for it.
Well,
and here you are.
Well, and I think all of us at this table probably have a little bit of an A-type personality.
No,
you know?
Sure. No, absolutely not.
Maybe a
I
little
know you
bit.
Three, so.
We're doing a podcast or a show, so.
So it's sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to sit around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you see things in the world that's going on and you feel like, oh, I can make an impact there. I can make a difference. Or why didn't they do that? Why didn't they think of that?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to sit at home and do nothing. I mean, when I first moved to Glenwood, one of the things that I did was I started raising bees. Now, for a person who
You're
hates to be seen.
You're not joking.
No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
You're not joking.
No, I'm joking.
I didn't know
How did
this.
You not know that?
You didn't know
that. I didn't know
this. Okay. So,
listen to the first episode.
So you harvest your own honey and stuff then too? Is that how you – that is like that the way you would
yeah,
say
well,
it?
Yeah, well, the reason I raise bees is not for the honey. It's just because bees are endangered.
Mm-hmm.
So I started raising bees. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those persons that hate to be stung. And so, you know. I said, "Oh, this should be fun." So I took a course. I took a course at the University of Minnesota.
Mm.
I told my wife that, "Hey, I'm going to raise some bees." She looked at me and said, "Oh yeah, sure. Okay. Don't worry about it." And then I went and picked up the bees, and she said, "Oh, I can't say what she said on podcast, but she used certain
beep,
four letter
beep,
words,
beep.
Right? Certain four letter words that indicated that she was shocked." And surprise, and that, and it was my hobby, not hers.
Yeah.
So, but she eventually got involved, and what I mean involved is that she started raising bee-friendly plants. So when you go to our house, well, last year was a difficult year because I wasn't at home. you see these bee-friendly plants and beehives all around. So I just placed my order. Unfortunately, my bees died last year. I'm not going to blame it on Rotary because I wasn't around. But
your wife was out there with the raid.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Thank you for mentioning that. Oh, my goodness. You're right. I've noticed all these things around the house.
You know what? The little bit that I know about your wife, though, she's probably too darn busy to even think about it. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
I said it. She's like, I don't.
I have to introduce you
to the
other Rhonda. My wife. But I've just placed an order for two sets of Russian bees, which would be an interesting different type of bees than I usually have. I usually have Italian bees, which are very friendly and, you know, just buzz around. Russian bees are very aggressive.
Interesting.
But they survive through the winter.
It's those long, cold winters.
But they survive through the winter better than the Italian bees. So, and they produce about the same amount of honey.
Okay.
So...
learning so much about bees right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get on
this
bees.
It's great. I think it's great. I don't know. I don't even know how we got on there. Somebody,
what do you mean?
Rotary. How we see Rotary? One of our areas of focus is, of course, the environment and
on bees,
sex and bees, pollinators. So it's probably when you look at why I'm involved in Rotary and some of the things I do is. If you do, a personality test, you look and say, oh, yeah, I can see him getting involved in that because it's important.
Good hobbies, though. I mean,
it
what
is.
A cool hobby.
It is. I mean, when you're trying to get away from everybody.
Yeah.
Go out to your beehive.
Yeah. Well, come on. Well, nobody wants to join you, right? Like, hey, you want to.
Hey, I'm out here.
Yeah, nobody is coming. 10,000 bees around you.
No one is coming out to see you.
I have so many follow-up questions, but I will not. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole right now. So that's so fun. Interesting.
But I'm sorry, but I was, you know, Rotary, how I, my journey through Rotary is indicative of my location and the things I've been involved in. Whoa, I guess since Rhonda and I have been married, we've lived around the world, and I've always been involved in certain things. And it's interesting that when I returned back to the States, I was on the board of several organizations in different cities. And there were Rotarians on the board, but no one asked me to join Rotary.
Really?
No one asked me to join Rotary at all. And I didn't know that much about Rotary.
Yeah.
So when we moved to Glenwood, I was talking to the head of the hospital there, and he just said, you know, you need to come. Why don't you join me for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
I said, free? He said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll pay for it. I didn't know any better. I went to the Rotary meeting. It was a great meeting. 2 weeks later, I joined. The thing I recall is when I joined Rotary, the guy who was doing my inductions just basically said, we ask you to do only one thing. We are a membership organization that invite members to join. Just invite someone to come.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just one or two a year. And I said, okay. But just from that, I learned so much about Rotary. Because when I would go to a person and say, hey, why don't you come? I'll buy you lunch, come to Rotary. They said, well, when I retire, I'll come and join Rotary. And I'm saying, my goodness, how long do we have to wait for that to happen? I'll retire in about 20 years. Then I'll have time to do Rotary. I'm saying, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that bugged me a little bit, but I'm sorry.
It's one of the things, though.
It's a nice way to flip a narrative, though.
But it is one of the things that, like, I'm most proud of us is we're literally the poster child of people that are too busy for Rotary. And we show up every week, and we're doing the podcast, and it's because we've just made it a priority. And is it easy every week? No. Are there other things that are requiring our time? Of course, but that's up to us.
I mean, gosh, look, across the table from us, we have an owner of a radio station, for God's sake. And he's making time. I love
it. Well, I mean, I know the trek downstairs is going
to
be
hard. It's so hard.
To get in the studio. Yeah.
But, I mean, all of us can argue that, you know, there's...
But I do think that there's a real difficulty with certain time periods of life. Like, when you... One that we don't hit enough is when people are young professionals before they even have families. That's one that we seem to miss. That's seemingly getting better.
Yeah.
It seems like that we're starting to hit that demographic a little bit more.
You're right about that, but it's also where you place your priorities. For instance, those young professionals, what do they need? What do they value the most?
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably some type of mentorship, mm-hmm. or some type of fellowship, or
money.
Money, exactly. Or have the opportunity to meet leaders in their communities.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we may not push a lot is the fellowship. And we actually have fun at those meetings. And even we have fun on the podcast. I'm not sure how much fun I'm having right now, but we do have fun.
But to go back to that, it's interesting. Like, that just made me think of something when I was, you know, coming out of college and stuff. And you think about how egotistical you are. Like, I need to prove myself out here. When really the lean is, who do I need to meet?
Yeah.
And who do I need to learn from? And like that is the more valuable thing. I'm like, gosh, I could have saved myself so much time and energy if I would have not thought I had to do everything myself.
Absolutely. When you think about how most people get jobs, it may not be through those job sites. It might be, I know someone that works for you and I'll vouch for you and come on in, let's talk.
Yeah.
And you get a job.
Oh, you don't have any experience in this, but
we'll hire you. Yeah.
But you have the, like, prerequisites of something of that person that you would want. I mean, because anything would be taught, right?
Like,
so it's interesting. It is But then the other side of the same conversation is it makes sense that people that are retired or their kids are out of the house, that Rotary is a natural fit because they've got that vacuum that was created, right? Where, you know, I was used to getting the kids ready or, you know, used to having something in the morning. So then you can fill that in easily with Rotary. So you see like how Rotary naturally fits into certain people.
Yeah.
But I think that's also part of a misconception.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Harris was 36 when he started this organization. Rotary started, the core of Rotary was in their 30s and 40s when it started. Right now, if you look at our age, average age, it's a little bit beyond retirement age.
Yeah.
So
that's putting it as nicely as
possible. So you know, for Paul Harris, it was more like, hey, I want to hang around some friends. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is important. And, and building a business, because they use Rotary to build their businesses too. But then what happened, you know, times changed. We got a little older. And that core group who started at 36 became 46, 56, 66.
Yeah.
And they invited their friends who were 66. And but Rotary realizes that we need to have younger members in our organization and do things that attract young members.
I mean, it's coming around. It is definitely coming around because you see we see it like in the faith-based things of the need for young people to have collaborative opportunities as well as mentorship. I mean, there's just a huge vacuum of that in the younger generation, and it highlights the need for organizations like Rotary. And then I feel like Rotary is positioning themselves to do well when these people grow up and wake up and realize that it's not within themselves.
But the question becomes, how do you do it? When you look at how we market ourselves in the past, I was watching a television show. I was based out of Seattle, Frasier.
Yeah.
Okay. You remember his grandfather? Oh, I'm sorry. His father was on there. So I'm watching the show, and the guy said, and some woman was coming in, and he didn't want to be seen by this woman or something. So Frasier walks in. She said, "I'm sorry. Dad is at a Rotary meeting right now." So I'm saying, "Dad's at a Rotary meeting. What about you two? You know, you're younger, but you know, but there is this perception that Rotary is something that happens at a certain age and
retirement.
Retirement. But that's also one of the reasons we have a podcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
When you talk to older members, they'll tell you, young folks don't have time for service, or service doesn't happen until you retire. And that's not true.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
So, and I think one of the, I'm not sure if I told you the story about the impetus behind the podcast of why we thought about having a podcast was that we had a member of our club, the Glenwood Rotary Club, was 24 years old. Guy just graduated from Cornell. Maybe he was out a year or so from Cornell. And lives in Glenwood.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
You can imagine the pressure he was under. But anyway, we were in a conversation, and he brought up the idea that young folks love service and that we were not making an effort to tell them about service opportunities. And I said, "Well, what do you suggest?" He said, "Have you ever heard of a podcast?" I said, "Yeah, I've heard of a podcast, you know." And he said, "I do a podcast." So he actually introduced me to young folks doing service around the world. And I'm saying, this should be Rotary, you know.
Yeah.
We need to reach out to people and let them know about the things we do at a young age. You don't have to be 65 or older to enjoy Rotary.
There you heard it, guys.
So
this podcast, the genesis of it came from a 24-year-old.
Absolutely.
Who is a Rotarian.
Yes, who's a Rotarian, yes.
I just lost a lot of respect for you, though. I thought it came from you.
But
you know what? Like, he's
you made it happen.
He's the QB. He brought it.
No, he's general manager. You are the quarterback. I am the backup kicker.
Well, what's Chad then?
Lineman. You block.
But didn't you play football in school?
Yep.
Okay. Block and tackle. Block okay. and tackle.
I was the quarterback. No.
I love it. Well,
that's, I'm the water boy.
As I invite friends to the club meetings, that's the response I get all the time. Oh, I'm so busy. And I'm like, with our club especially, you know, morning.
Yeah.
You give up one morning, which I know is hard with children, but you're done. You're at the office by 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's and that's a hump I am struggling to get people to accept that it's on top of it. I, you know, I've told you guys this in, on the show. I walk out of there every week energized because we have great speakers too.
Yes.
You know, it's great to connect with everybody, but you have good speakers that it doesn't seem like a burden ever. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, I got to get to this. It's, yeah. I want to be there. And I probably wouldn't have known that had I not gone for the first time. But I struggle because I hear the same thing from yeah. friends in the area that are close. I'm like, oh, you can do it. And I yeah. promise
yeah,
you'll see it. And you don't have to jump right in and do every service project. And mm-hmm. I think that's also because we lead with service. You hear people talk. I don't have time, you know, to do all. Well, there's a lot of projects, a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
There's opportunities you guys have talked about, bringing your children into yeah. service projects. So
it's a great opportunity to, you know, present those lessons for your children too.
You can't make people want to do it. They right. got to want to do it. It's just mm-hmm. that's the key is when people flip that script and they go, they want to do it. They got to be able to find it. They got to be able to access it. Mm-hmm. Be welcome, be invited. Yeah. You know, one of the things, and, you know, I don't mind talking openly about our club. One of the things.
Now, what club is that? Let me write that down.
Edina Morningside.
Okay.
You know, recently we've been having trouble placing our exchange student. And literally there was an email like, this is going to be like our last year hosting exchange. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our house and I'm like, how do we build onto this thing to yeah. house somebody? Like, that was my first thought was like, how do we house them?
Yeah. yeah.
And I'm like, I can't house them.
And it's just,
we legitimately. Yeah.
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 But it was, that's good. That's, yeah. I mean, and maybe that was the whole idea yeah. of the rhetoric of the email. But the thought of us not stepping up in the future, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, something's, we've got to flip the script.
Did you say that they did find?
Yep.
All right. Wonderful. Yep.
Lloyd, thank you very much for stepping up.
He was like, wait, what?
You know, you sort of bring up a couple of interesting facts here. One is that sometimes we have this impression about Rotary is that it's a very rigid organization. Mm-hmm. That for you to be a Rotarian, you got to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning or noon. Rotary has changed so much in mm-hmm. that you don't even have to come to meetings. You can just do service projects. You can have different times. You can have the Edina Club have a group of folks meeting on Saturdays. Or you can have, for instance, there are several clubs where they bring their kids to Rotary meeting. One of the things that actually got me into service was at a young age, my father made me work with the Heart Association in a little town in Edmondson, Arkansas. And I got the service bug. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to realize service doesn't happen when you retire.
Right.
It's something that's generated in you, that particular individual, at a very early age. And we just have to be able to harness that some kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another good thing that came up at our orientation meeting yesterday is Brad, who's retiring in the next 3 weeks, said he can't imagine if he hadn't joined 7 years ago, because now that he's into retirement, he has a group of friends, mm-hmm. and he has – it's not as if he's starting fresh when he retires. And I hadn't thought about it that way before.
Wow.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. What it, yeah.
He was really excited that – because I don't yeah. know what I would – what retirement would look like.
Yeah.
And now I know.
And that's interesting.
The interesting that's thing, too, is we have friends all around the world, too, just by saying mm-hmm. you're a Rotarian. Mm-hmm. You can go to Argentina and say, I'm a Rotarian, and someone put you up in their house. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just that type of organization.
Economical travel.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Know anybody in
where have you?
Greece?
So you've traveled a lot before. for it. Where's been your favorite place that you did a service project or visited through Rotary?
Service project would be both Uganda and Honduras, and I did both of those last year. It was interesting. Like, Edmondson, Arkansas is not the richest town in the world, okay? The major crop is cotton, and it's an ag type of town. But the poverty you see in other parts of the world will just break your heart. And it gave me some idea, sense of purpose. When you walk into a community, a camp, I thought it was basically a camp, you look over and you see a hole over there where the cows are drinking and doing everything else, and that used to be their water supply.
Mm-hmm.
And now we put together a system where they have this a gravity-fed thing that brings fresh and clean water to them, and you walk in and they think you, I wouldn't say a god, but they think you are, you know, you're saving kids' lives. Mm-hmm. And that affects you.
Yeah.
And it's in a country where you think there are guns in America. There are guns. You know, people who are teenagers walking around outwardly with AK-47s, and you walk into a 7-Eleven, think you're going to get, you know, some candy. This kid walks around, and you just say, okay, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to buy what I need to buy and get out of here. And if I speak to him, I'm going to shake my head and get the heck out. And the same in Uganda. It's such a big difference between the have and the have-nots. And it makes you feel good that you're doing something to eradicate or change their lives. So those two countries really affected me. But prior to that, I didn't really travel with Rotary outside the country. Most of my travel was, you know, fun type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, go to Spain, go to Paris and enjoy that.
But leisure.
Yeah, just easy type stuff. But when you're there, you know, it changes you. Because it's not too often I go places I have to watch where I step.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, I can imagine. So,
well, getting back to the podcast, you know, so we started this 70 episodes ago?
Yeah, something like
72,
that.
72, three episodes.
There we go.
I've stopped keeping track.
Yeah, we should number them. But as you started it, you had an idea, now it's evolved. You know, what are your thoughts on where it started and the direction that we've gone, and what would you like to see it continue?
Can you give us a report card, please?
Yeah.
You guys have been great. This is more than I expected from a podcast. I think you three are fantastic hosts. Every time someone has been on the show and I call them up and say, hey, what did you think of the show? They loved it. They have high remarks. So you guys pay me for saying that, okay? But anyway.
Let's not talk about paying.
I saw your expression on your face. It's like, pay? Who's getting paid here?
Yeah.
So it has exceeded my expectations. When I thought of the show, one of the things I wanted to do was to alert, because podcasts has a certain demographics. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother or mother probably would not be watching or listening to a podcast.
Right.
But folks in maybe high school, early in their career, and younger, will be watching or listening to a podcast. And this will give them the opportunity to learn, A, about Rotary, and learn about service opportunities. So that was the initial thing that I thought about as far as the podcast. And you guys have really exceeded that. You've had, you know, Stephanie on, which is the upcoming Rotary International president. You've had leaders in the international Rotary and local Rotary. You've had
World Vision.
Yeah, World Vision. Oh my goodness, the things they've been doing in the world. So you've let the community know, and it's still out there posted about service opportunities and organizations that's willing to help you do something for service. So when I look at what can you do in the future.
Here we go.
Here's the ask.
Okay, see, you shouldn't have brought it up. One of the things that Rotary is having some issues with is membership. You know, how do we increase our membership? Mm-hmm. And the question becomes, how can the podcast affect membership? One, of course, talking about our things and letting people be aware and having them join Rotary. The other one is when you think of a Rotary Club now versus then, a Rotary Club now only requires you to do a service project. Some Rotary Clubs don't even require you to meet. There is a minimum requirement of a number of people, 6 for a satellite club, 20 for a regular club. And I forgot what it is for a Rotaract club, somewhere between 15 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a catalyst to help start Rotary Clubs in different areas simply because they are seeing the new Rotary here.
Yeah.
And what we have to do is collect the data and provide them the opportunity to do service, I mean, around the world.
Yeah.
So that's a big challenge, and that's a big ask. But don't look at him. Don't.
Oh, I thought I actually looked over him because I thought I saw him looking at me.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, what are you looking at?
No, he's
at
probably
me for?
Saying, I told you not to ask that question on that piece of paper, and you asked it anyway. But I think the continued growth of our podcast, your podcast, because all I do is just hold a meeting once a week, is how is basically how we provide a value to Rotary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the value propositions now is we can show that we are growing Rotary. Your life is will be easy then when they see that. Just this podcast is helping develop clubs, bringing new people in, and we can track that.
Yeah.
Basically, you probably need to just stand out of the way because sponsorships and everything else would just was fall into place. So, but like I said, it is a big ask.
Yeah.
But
I wonder one of the things that I think about is people that have been on the show that connect to other people that are on the show, or somebody hears of them and like the kind of that collateral impact down the line. The other one that I'm always shocked of is just the educational value of this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the three of us, and we're, you know, relatively early in our Rotary careers. I mean,
yeah.
Chad pretty much joined along with
Chad
it.
Chad is the true green Rotarian right now.
But my point is that through the show, the experiences that you've had and the people that you've met and understanding the dynamics, the systems, the opportunities, the what we do, like what Rotary
yeah,
does,
that knowledge
is
gap.
Really, really useful. And it's been fun to be able to be thinking through this as a learning tool.
Yeah,
it's fun watching you three because I know all of you were sort of relatively new. And
I didn't know anything about the like and past the club. I was like,
I think your exposure to Rotary at so many different levels is, you know, changed your view of what Rotary is all about.
Yeah.
And for me, how that happened was that I used to go to my club in Glenwood, and 15 miles down the road, there was another club, which was the Alexandra's Club. I walked in there, and they were singing. We didn't sing at our club, and I'm similar to saying, what the heck is going on here? They, you know, they passed out songbooks. I visited another club in Wilmer, totally different club. Then I visited clubs here in the city. All of them were different. But it made me feel good because I shouldn't say that about Glenwood. But it opened my eyes that Rotary was more than just my club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I would sit in the Glenwood club meeting, and we would have a speaker that would talk. We'll spend 30 minutes, an hour, talking about how they changed asphalt into gravel. And I'm sitting in the back of the room saying, what the heck am I doing here? You know, the food was just so-so, but asphalt, the grass, that's not helping me a bit at all. So it was important that I got out and saw what Rotary was all about. And then I went to some zone events, and that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. So
now, when you say zone, can you, for our listeners, just give a quick definition?
Zone is, I guess, it's that level above district.
Okay.
It's for us, it's part of Canada down to Central America,
wow,
in the middle of the U.S. So that's basically what our zone is. It's quite a few clubs and quite a few members.
Yeah.
With all with different views of what is successful, what a successful Rotarian is, and, mm-hmm, and all those things. So
you're doing stuff with the zone. Do you have an official role title?
Let me
TBD.
Assistant.
No, it's
Rotary Coordinator.
Rotary Coordinator.
I'm past district governor, which means that I'm through with that. I'm currently assistant Rotary Coordinator.
Okay.
So what that means is that I work with three districts on membership, on things they can do to improve their membership.
Okay.
I was the chair of North Central President-Elect Training Seminar, which is something we give once a year. And this is the first year that we've been back, in, I think, 3 years in person. And it was at the Vikings Training Center. Everybody had a good time. I'm sure.
Heard you emceed. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was there. what else am I doing? Oh, that's probably
good enough.
Yeah. That's some of the stuff that I'm doing. Yeah.
It sounds like you've got a plate full, but all worth it.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I'm trying to connect a few of these episodes that we've had and recently. And, you know, some of these clubs that have these big events, like concert series, you know.
Galas.
That really – they seem to be the healthy clubs in terms of membership numbers and just overall kind of impact in their community. Mm-hmm. And so – like, as Rotary is beginning to transform, like, we talked off air. We're like, why isn't everybody going to their city for their comprehensive plan and going, is there something as a Rotary club that we can take on? Like, I really loved that. That was the St. Cloud, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That they went to the city and went, how can we partner and help you? And then they just did it. And look at what it turned into. Summertime by George. So I'm just – I keep turning to, like, how do you plug people in and, like, how do you create events and situations where people can plug in without the full plug in of mm-hmm. membership and a club meeting. And, like, that's so formal, right? And
yeah.
And our generation is about, like, kind of this fluidity of being able to kind of come and go. And I just want to do a service project, or I want to just, you know, come every other meeting. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, is that kind of the silver bullet is for all these organizations and all these clubs to really sponsor one of those big community event, outreach event?
Yes and no. And I know I said that a couple of times.
It depends.
For me, it depends on that club's ability to listen.
Mm.
Because when you sit back and if you ever have to go back and say, why does club fail? You look back and you say, that guy actually said you should change your time meeting times. That person actually said we should do this type of event. This person actually said it. But because that club is so set in their ways, they don't want to change.
Mm.
I'm sure you've heard this. This is what we've done before. So we're not going to change. It's not going to.
It's a rock and a hard place. It's a rock and a hard place.
Yeah,
it
is. It is because it's a simple answer for this. Mm-hmm. If you listen to what your members are telling you and you do what they tell you, because it's a membership organization, you wouldn't have that problem. When we look at clubs that are successful and clubs that are not successful. One of the first things we noticed is that that club that's not successful wasn't willing to adapt, wasn't willing to change, yeah. was not willing to listen to their community about things that's going on and what they should be doing. One, I'm not going to name the community because it's not Glenwood. there was one club that at one point in time was approaching 100 members. They helped form another club, which is currently now in their 60 or 70 members, and they're a growing club. But this club was in a community that the demographics totally changed. It was at one point in time in the 60s an all-white middle-class community. Now the community is so diverse. It's a variety of different folks in that community. Club didn't change. Mm. Club now has made – oh, I'm sorry. That club folded. It moved from over 100 to disappearing because – and I can recall actually going to a meeting, and a member was sitting over there saying, I can't meet at this time. Would you change the time to XYZ, and I'll be here? And they said, no, we can't do that. You know, we've always met at 7 o'clock, and, you know, if you want to be a Rotarian here, you got to do that. That person left.
I think you nailed it with the listening piece because that's reflective of exactly what St. Cloud did is they listened to the community and they responded where you're talking about people that are not – like in the other trigger that I find and I even see it periodically in our club, although our club is extremely adaptable and really good, is comfort. Whenever you're comfortable doing something, that means you're not being impactful, right?
Yeah.
And we should always be uncomfortable and I love it. We have uncomfortable people that come on and speak. We do project work that stretches the comfort of the club. Like, those are really good things. But that's always my trigger in our club is like, gosh, is this the thing that we've done for 25 years? And we don't even know why we do it anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So that's the time to re-diagnose it. So I think that's a really great kind of way to start wrapping up our interview is – you know, clubs.
So,
listen up.
Am I through?
You wow. are just wow, about.
Oh,
through.
Okay.
Just about.
Through part one. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Any parting words?
I am. I usually don't say this. I'm blessed that you three are hosts.
Wow.
And actually just do
that
this.
That was really kind.
And Lloyd, we're very grateful for you as well. We know that it's been a lot of work and an uphill battle and. Seven
now,
feet of snow.
Yeah, you guys are doing the heavy lifting. You really are. I only have high praises for what you've done, but I also think that what you're capable of doing in the future is just going to blow Rotary away. So, you have that type of potential because of the energy you have here, the guests you have on the show, mm-hmm. and the things that you talk about. So,
I guess this is a terrible time to tell you that this is my.
No, we've been honored so far, and it's been fun.
Yeah,
it's been fun. So, thank you.
And that's
thank
what Rotary should be fun.
Yeah,
you know, if we're not fun, I'm not going to see the place.
Yeah.
It's been tough, but it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, Lloyd, thank you. Thank you for carving out time. Hopefully you didn't drive all the way down here just today to make the, you know.
I just drove from Richfield today.
Okay, beautiful.
Nice and fast. Well, thanks for all the work you do with us, too.
Yeah.
It really helps.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Wouldn't be here.
Take us out.
As a reminder, you're listening to Searching for Service. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Are you ready to make a difference in your community? Rotary is a great place to get involved in your community and meet passionate groups of people, as well as individuals dedicated to service and fellowship. At Rotary, we believe in the power of teamwork to bring positive change. As a member, you will have the opportunity to participate in exciting projects that address local and global challenges. From supporting educational initiatives to environmental conservation, we tackle it all. Joining a Rotary Club means becoming part of a diverse family of individuals who share a passion for giving back and having fun while making positive impact. With projects and events that enrich your community, there's something for everyone, from local initiatives to international collaborations. It doesn't matter what culture or country you come from.
What matters is that you want to belong to a group that strengthens communities and creates lasting change. There's a place for everyone at Rotary, regardless of age or background. Learn more by searching for a Rotary Club in your community and visiting. Together, let's make a difference. Rotary, people of action.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company. You get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary four-way test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
Gear up for a day of community spirit. Edina Rides for Education invites you to roll into a fun day of biking on Saturday, May 4th, starting at Fred Richards Park. Organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside, they're all about service above self, and they're calling on you to join the ride. Opt for a leisurely 5 or 10-mile route and explore the scenic, car-free bike paths Edina has to offer. And here's the best part. Your ride with Edina Rides supports local educational nonprofits like the Edina ABC program. They're all about empowering students of color. And get this, 99% of Edina ABC students graduate Edina High School and attend a 4-year college or university. Your participation helps sustain organizations like Edina ABC. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops and it stops.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Well, I partially was kidding about him being our GM. I like to consider him our QB, but I was given a reminder that that is definitely not the case. I'm the QB.
He ain't on the field.
I'm the QB.
Or maybe he's our beekeeper.
He's yeah, the beekeeper. And so, yeah, it was just really great to have Lloyd back on as, you know, that second round and go a little bit deeper with him and have him, like, I know that you guys had interviewed him in person here.
That's right.
Well, that's right. You were
not.
You weren't
there. I was on maternity leave, but it was nice to, you know, get a refresher, but well, then also
then
go
to
deeper.
hear about real, where the real idea for this show came from. Mm-hmm. And it was their local club.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was something I had no idea about, and we see them all the time.
Some spring chicken. we're like, that makes a lot more sense now. Like,
yeah,
younger person that, you know, kind of knows.
He took the
what,
idea and he ran. He's done a great job so far. So.
And I think that with Rotary in general.
I think that's just a perfect metaphor for him. He just takes it and runs, and he's doing a lot of change.
Everyone. He is. And the other thing, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, is he's done an incredible job from his small community of moving up that proverbial Rotary ladder.
To increase his impact and create change within Rotary.
Imagine the change if he can figure out how to reply all, though, on emails.
We enjoy you, Lloyd. We enjoy you. So, well, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
It's time to stop searching
and start serving.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.